two portions of Scripture tonight. Acts chapter 6 is one we're going to be looking at tonight. Acts chapter 6. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're not going to spend a lot of time in Acts chapter 6. But as Brother Don mentioned, one of the duties of a deacon is to free up the pastor for some other times and take care of some of the duties that have been assigned to them to take care of. Nowhere in the Bible can you find, that's why we ask him about the chain of command. First, it comes from God down through the pastor. And many times the deacons and the men of the church, they're like an advisory board as they help and guide, and they have different areas of expertise and different areas of wisdom where they can help someone. A deacon is a church-appointed position. A pastor is a God-called position. A little bit of difference there. But in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12, the apostles, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Verse 5. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Phicrus, and Nicar, and Timo, and Parmelius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, the multitude of and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient unto the faith." Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just ask to open up these scriptures tonight that you'll challenge us, encourage us, and strengthen us, and charge us to be about your work. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Basically, what was happening, the church was getting too big. They needed some help in there. And the church was growing greatly there. And some of the people were saying, "Hey, you're not taking care of the widows and some of the women in the church that need some help. You guys are ignoring them." And that's one of the commandments of God, is to take care of the widows and the orphans in the church. So they said, "Well, let's get some help here." Just like Moses did, as his father-in-law told him to get some help. So they asked for help because their primary duty was the Word of God. Just as a pastor's primary duty is the Word of God, and ministering to the sheep. That's it. That's in prayer and preaching and teaching and ministering and counseling and taking care of things and all that stuff. That is the main job of the pastor. And there was other physical things and other sometimes spiritual things that needed some help with. So he's going to delegate those out. And as they're talking about, they was looking for people of an honest report. Excuse me. Got a tickle in my nose. Honest report. We talked about that a little bit. And not only honest report in the church, but an honest report outside the church and how they are looked upon outside the church as well as they're looked upon in the church, and then full of the Holy Ghost. In other words, they're saved, they're led by the Holy Ghost, and their life is Christ-like. Wisdom, some common sense, some abilities to think and to some do things. And he says, "Whom may we may appoint over this business?" They needed someone that was an honest report that they could give a job to and trust it to be done. That you don't have to micromanage type thing. and get something done. That's what they were looking for, a job that can be taken care of. And as they said, they'll give themselves to the Word and God. They talked about the people they chose. They chose these people, then they set them before the apostles. And the apostles is the ones that actually set them aside by the laying on of hands, as you saw tonight. And as they prayed for them and set them aside for a special duty there and a special job as they laid their hands on them. Now, what I want to look on here right now in Acts chapter 6, verse 7. It says, and the word of God increased. The things that were happening in the church, that the word of God was being blessed. There was fruit coming into the church. The church grew. And then it says the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Now, there's a difference between a Christian and a disciple. A Christian is one that's saved. A disciple is one that's serving God and working and actually doing something. There's a lot of what they call pew warmers. They just come to church and that's it. A disciple can be anyone, male, female, child, young, or old. And they are ones that are actually doing something, involved in the work, and making things happen in the church. And they says that the workers, not only did the church, did the word multiply and their fruit come and remain, but the workers in the church increased as they came and learned and taught and were trained. And they became disciples and workers for the church. And then a great company of the priest, the Jewish priest, the Orthodox Jewish priest that had not accepted Christ as a Savior, that was still living by the law, they got saved. The church was growing. Things were happening because, you know what that says? God approved of what they did. It was okay the way they did it. Now, I want us to go over to Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter 3. You also have some of this in Titus. The first part of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, is relating to the bishop, or the elder, or the pastor. Different words are used for the pastor. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, down through verse 7, is pertaining to the pastor. In verse 8, it says, likewise must the deacons. Now, this is a charge to the deacons. The pastor has a greater responsibility. The pastor has a greater standard to be held up to, and the pastor has a greater scrutiny to be under. And the deacons is pretty high. Now it says the first thing they say, likewise must the deacons be grave. Now that's not in the grave, no. Be grave. Be serious. Be earnest. Be somber, not flighty, both feet on the ground, of a serious character. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go around like you've been eating persimmons or prunes all the time, or sour lemons or something or other. There's nothing wrong with a little smile and a little laugh, but listen, there's a time to be serious. I mean, Alice was trying to take a picture, and I stood in front of it. I thought she wanted a picture of me, but I guess she didn't, you know? She wanted a picture of her husband for some reason. But see, you know, just mess. But hey, there is a time to be serious. There is a time, and they need to have some seriousness about them. Some people, that's everything's a joke. Nothing's serious. All of life is joke, and they don't take anything serious. Well, that's not a person for a deacon. They've got to have some seriousness about them. And then it says, not double-tongued. Sometimes we call it blowing smoke. Sometimes we call it speaking out of both sides of their mouth. Sometimes you notice the conversation changes when somebody walks up. Maybe they shouldn't have been saying what they were saying or something like that. But someone that is honest in what they say. A lot of these people, whoever they're around, you know, if somebody's talking about somebody else when you're there, then when you're not there, they're probably talking about you. Gossip. Gossip. They are, when they say something, they mean it. And they're honest about what they say. And it's not just a bunch of just saying something because that's what they think you want to hear. Not given to much wine. They don't drink strong drink, those type of things. Sober physically, sober spiritually. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Now, many times lucre refers to money. But also it refers to any type of gain that a person gets. They are not governed and motivated by getting something. They don't use their position to better themselves financially or in business. Well, I'm a deacon, you can trust me on this car I'm selling you. You know, or whatever, you know? No. They're not governed. Now listen, this just doesn't apply to the deacons. It applies to pastors, but it also needs to apply to the Christians. Don't be governed by money and how you're going to do things. And don't let that be a greed in your life. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. The love of money is the root of all evil. When people won't tithe, when they won't give to offerings and things like that, they're more concerned about their money than they are about God and His work. And later on, it gets down into here something else about you should be able to manage your money. I mean, if you got a little bit, it takes a lot more managing. And then if you get a lot more, it still takes a lot more managing. I've found out you tend to spend what you have. If you have a lot, you spend a lot. If you have a little, you spend a little. But not someone that's in all this major debt and all these things. They've got their money in order. Now, this verse 9 in 1 Timothy chapter 3, holding the mystery of the faith in pure consciousness. The mystery of the faith, salvation, being saved, those type of things. Look down in verse 16 of the same chapter. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's kind of the life of Christ right there. The mystery is something that wasn't seen or understood in the Old Testament, but is revealed in the New Testament. That's what it means here. Now, so what they're doing is they're holding the mystery of the faith, the gospel, in pure conscience. That's when we ask him about if somebody wants to get to saved. What do? How can you tell somebody about being saved? They're not ashamed of how they serve their Lord Jesus Christ. They're not ashamed to stand up for Jesus. They don't hide the fact that they're a Christian. They stand up for Jesus. They have a pure conscience. Their conscience is clean and clear when it comes to God. Verse 10. And let these also first be proved. Before. Brother Don was a deacon in another church. They've been here for over a year or so. I don't remember exactly how long. A couple of years, a year, something like that. Year and a half. And I knew that when they came in. But we weren't going to immediately just come in and establish them and do all this stuff. You sit back, you watch, and let them prove themselves. Experience. What does a pastor look at? Their attendance in church is one thing. Now, attendance in church doesn't save you, but it's a barometer of your spirituality, a gauge of your spirituality. Are they faithful in their duties? Does he forget to take roll in the morning? No. Now, a couple of times he's left some checks in the copier, and we got to the bank and they weren't there. We had to go back and get them. But hey, that's just the absent-minded there, you know. That's not being unfaithful. But he's honest in their duties. The other thing is, are they faithful in their service to the Lord Jesus Christ? There's very few times that the doors have been opened and they're not here. Vacation, you know, sometimes sick, you know, different things like that. And they live farther than anybody else here. And very, very seldom are they late. If you have a job and somebody always comes in 5 minutes after 8, when it comes times for advancements, you're going to think about that. When somebody always takes an hour and a half lunch, you're going to think about those things. The clock watchers at work, you know, 5 o'clock rolls around. You've seen those signs. If you don't believe the dead come to life, be here at 5. You know, when everybody leaves, the light, you know, goes off. The pastor looks at these things and watches these things and sees if a person is faithful. He sees what will keep them out of church. What comes before them and church? There's been birthdays and all kinds of things that we have chose to be at church when we had something going on. Sometimes there's revivals. When we first started going to church, it seems like always something was happening during church time on Sundays. We made a decision early on in our life what was going to be a priority in our life. That's what you look at in faithfulness. First, be proved. Are they here when visitation comes? Are they here when we have a work day? I mean, these special things. Are they here like for a revival or missions conference or those type of things? Special things. There is no way that we can schedule the church around everybody's schedule. That's an impossibility. Someone that has proven and been faithful. It says, then let them use the office of a deacon. After their life has been watched, then they've been approved, then make them a deacon. Being found blameless. There's nothing bad in their life that they can be accused of in church or outside of church. See here, now look at verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave. Now we mentioned that the woman is not ordained. But when God said in Genesis that they shall become one flesh, you are. You are a team. Their wife is also a part of all of this. In many of the duties, they need to be a team. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, one of the things is to take care of the widows. Well, a man doesn't need to be going over to the widow's home by himself. That just doesn't look right, and that's not right, and it shouldn't be done that way. A man doesn't need to be going to another woman's home alone. That's not right. It's not done. You're not respecting her, you're not respecting yourself, and you're not respecting your wife. And it goes the same way for the woman. It's just not right. And many times there's things that a woman needs to take care of. They're just better at it than a guy. Be grave, same thing as a man was. Serious, earnest, not flighty. Serious character. Not slanderers. Now see, we told men not to be double-tongued. We told women not to be slanderers. Not talk bad about somebody else. Someone said, if you don't have something good to say, just be quiet. Not gossipers. Sober, it says for women. Sober-minded. Temperament, moderation. Faithful in all things. In their church. Just as well as a husband is. In their attendance, their ministries, their duties. In their home, to their husband. To the Lord Jesus Christ, is He first in their life? All of these things fit together here. Faithful in all things. Trustworthy. Then here in verse 12, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. One wife. Not two or three. One wife. There are things that single men cannot do. Now, it doesn't say that they have to be married. But it's a lot better if they are. Now, it says ruling their children. Now, listen. The Bible tells us when they get married that they're supposed to leave. God told Adam and Eve to leave their parents and go off and be a separate family. And they didn't even have any family then, you know. But he was setting the guidelines and example. Once the children move out, they're not under your rules. Now they come to you for advice, and you need to be able to give them wise advice and wisdom. But I cannot be accountable for the things that my son does. He's a grown man now. He's got to stand up on his own two feet and be responsible for his own decisions. And their own house as well. Their wife is in subjection to them. And their finances. Their own house well. House as well. Their house. There's more to a home than just that. They don't have things being repossessed. They don't have utilities being turned off. They're not ruling their house well. They're not managing their money well. If they can't do those things, if they haven't got that part of their life squared away, then how can they go on to something else for God? You can't. Their homes, everything about it. For they that have used the office of the deacon well, purchase of themselves a good degree. A good report among the church. A good report among God. A place of respect. And great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Boldness for Jesus. Standing up for Jesus. Now here in verse 14. These things write unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. That's what Paul said in his letter to Timothy. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. That's one of the things about the deacon. That's one of their responsibilities to help. Being able to know how to behave themselves in church. And around church and what's going on. And all the ministries around the church. It was so thankful when Don and Alice came in because they had been under a sound church. And they had been trained under a sound church in how a church is run, how a church is governed, how a church is financed, and how things are done in a church. Some people have no idea how churches are run and done and finances. Some people think it's garage sales and all this stuff. Some people think it's all different ideals on how a church should be run. We have the guidelines in the Bible, the book of Acts, how things are done, what's going on. How we talked about missions and support and finances and all of those things. All of that stuff, the chain of command, all of those things. How you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. The rest of the verse, which is the church of the living God. This church, Bernalillo Independent Baptist Church, is the church of the living God. It's not my church. It's not your church. This church belongs to God. I've had people ask me, what's an independent Baptist church, you know? They think, well, you know, don't you have some board somewhere? Don't you have some association or something other? Don't you have something that you're accountable to that watch over you and all those things? No, we got something better than that. We got God. And He's a lot more strenuous and particular about how things are done. And this church, Bernalillo Independent Baptist Church, takes priority over any of us. We make up the church, we're the body. Right. But it says He died and gave His life for the church. And that is more important than anybody else's motivation, desires, or anything else is this church right here. This body of believers. I'm not talking about necessarily about the building. But that is a priority in God's life. Now, look here. Behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The pillar is what holds up the building, holds up the roof. The ground is the foundation. This is what holds it up, and this is the foundation of what? The truth. God instituted the church. God organized the church to spread the gospel. We ask Him, what's the duties of the church? To spread the gospel. That is the jobs of the church and God instituted. How are missions started? They come out of the church. How is the church supported? From the people in the church. Everything comes back to the church. Any true ministry that is going to be totally blessed by God needs to come out of the local church. Now, there's lots of things going on out there. And God kind of blinks at them and lets them go for a little while. But if they were done the right way, through a local church, that'd be a great blessing. It says, bring your offerings into the storehouse in Malachi, which is the church. That's the first priority with your tithes and the offerings is the church. Your money doesn't go to some TV or radio program or anything like that. It goes to the local church. And if those ministries were out of a local church, it would be that local church's responsibility to support that ministry. There's nothing wrong with television, radio, and all that stuff, but those ministries should be out of the local church. And the local church is responsible for it. They are accountable to the local church. Every missionary we support is sent out of a local church, and that missionary is accountable to that local church and to that pastor. And we send the money to that local church, and that local church takes all that money and gives it to the missionary. Now, there's various ways of getting the money to the missionary, but the church doesn't take any money out of that for operating expenses. There is no such thing as the mission board in the Bible. There is no such thing as an organization in the Bible to govern churches. All the churches are their own local governing body. If it's a true church. Now, why is that so important? Because God instituted the church as the pillar and the ground of the truth. That is its responsibility to preach the truth, to teach the truth, to stand on the truth, and never compromise on the truth, and be the pillar that holds up the truth, and be the foundation that the truth is based upon. That is responsibility of the church. And that is a great and very grave, sobering responsibility that God has laid upon the church. When the churches got weak, the government got weak. When the churches got weak, the homes got weak. When the churches got weak, the families got weak. When the churches got weak, all these weird laws started coming in. When the churches got weak and the churches started compromising and the churches didn't preach the truth and stand on the truth and have standards for their church to be parts of the church, then things started going down. That's a responsibility. Then in verse 16, and without controversy. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, how God does things. It's not up for discussion. It's not up for debate. This is how it's done. Justified in the Spirit. Talking about Jesus Christ. He was just, God was manifest in the flesh. The incarnation of Jesus Christ. He came down and became man and walked among us and became a person, was manifest, shown forth in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, knows a capital S, spoke of Him, talked of Him. And we said the Spirit must reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment in John chapter 16. And the Spirit testified that this is Jesus. Seen of angels, the angels of heaven. Preached unto the Gentiles, not just to the Jews, but to the whole world. As John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. Believed on in the world, all around the world. John the Baptist said, he's in prison. He wanted to know if his job was done. He was sent to be a forerunner of the gospel. He says, are you the Jesus? And he says, Jesus says, go back and tell him that the poor have the gospel preached to them and the people are healed and people are getting saved. That was a proof that who he was. Believed on the world. And what? Received up into glory. Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. He was manifest in the flesh, justified of the Spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received into glory. He's in heaven. That's the gospel. And that's without controversy. And the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what all of this is about. That's what all the ministries of the church are about. A church should not be involved in anything that doesn't have something to do with salvation some way or another. Teaching, training, reaching, spreading, all of those things. That's the church's job. So many people want to use this building for different things and all fields for different things and all that stuff. Oh, you ought to put in a field out there. You ought to put a fence in. You ought to start raising cattle and selling them and all that stuff. No. That's not what the church is about. Well, we want to have your church for a meeting. You don't use it. Well, yeah, we use it. I said, well, if we're going to have a meeting for the church, it's going to be about Jesus. We're going to present the gospel. We're going to have a devotion. We're going to have something. Well, we can't do that. Listen. This charge is not just to Brother Don or Miss Alice, Brother Al or Miss Loretta. It's to everybody. Because it's not their church any more than it's my church. It's God's church. And you were bought with the price and you belong to Him. And Jesus is real. And He's coming back again. Heaven is real and hell is real. And there's people going to both. It's our job as a Great Commission. Go out and teach them all things. As I have commanded thee. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. I don't know what God's laid on your heart. I don't know what God's talked to you about here tonight. But listen, one of the questions was, how do we communicate with God? That's one of the ways is through prayer. One of the major ways is through prayer. Dear Jesus, I ask that You'll help us, that You'll guide us and direct us, and that You'll take these words and apply them to our hearts as we make decisions for You. We ask this in Jesus' name.